B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Yevamos Daf Dalet. We're going to start six lines from the bottom of Daf Gimel Amud Beis. And we'll just recap. At the top of Daf Gimel Amud Beis, the Gemara asked a question, Minoha Namila, what is the source in the Chumash and the Psukim that if Shimon dies without children, and one of his wives were one of the 15 Aroyos to Reuven, Shimon's brother, that Reuven cannot do Yibum with that wife of Shimon, nor with any other wife of Shimon who is called a tzara, a co-wife, a rival wife of an erva to Reuven. Reuven cannot do yibum or chalitza, for that matter, with the erva or the tzara's erva. And the Gemara says, because there's a pasuk, it says isha el achoiso leisikach litzrer legalus ervos oleo bechayel. The pasuk says, and the Gemara we discussed on Daf Gimel Amud Beis at the top, that we learn out from the psukim that if it's an achois isha, which is one of the 15 ervas, if Shimon was married to the sister of one of Reuven's wives, then Reuven cannot do yibum to that sister. It's achois isha, even when there's a mitzvah of yibum. Even if Shimon died without children, and now there's a mitzvah of doing yibum, normally to marry a brother's wife is seriously also. It's called eishes ach. However, the mitzvah of yibum overrides eishes ach and says that do yibum. But if besides for eishes ach, it's also achois isha, it's also a sister of his wife, then Reuven cannot do yibum to his wife's sister or with any other wife of Shimon. And that's what we learned from the pasuk of Oleo and Litzrer. And now the Gemara is going to say that if we needed a pasuk to say that you cannot do yibum when Shimon is married to one of the 15 aroyos of Reuven, then Reuven cannot do yibum, it must be that without the pasuk we would have contemplated the idea that you can do yibum. And we have to understand why that would be true. Why would we have thought and entertained the idea that Reuven can do yibum, which means to get married with one of the 15 aroyos? Why would, what would have allowed him to do that to the point that you need a special pasuk to say that indeed he cannot do it? That's what we're going to discuss here from Daf Gimel. It's going to take us all the way till Daf Ches. So we're going to start a sentence now over here on Daf Gimel Amud Beis. Then we're going to take a deep breath, and we're going to continue the sentence on Daf Hei Amud Beis, and then we're going to take another deep breath and finish the sentence on Daf Ches Amud Aleph, where we're going to come to a maskana. Says the Gemara, Tama, the whole reason, the source, that Reuven cannot do Yibum with an erva of his, one of the 15 Aroyos, is the Kos of Rachmon, is because the Torah says, Oleho, the extra word in the Pasuk that we, or the Gzeir HaShava that we learnt about before. If we wouldn't have a special pasuk to say that Reuven cannot do yibum in such a case, I may have thought, he can do yibum to the sister of his wife, which is one of the 15 aroyos. My tamo, why would that be true? Says the Gemara. And now the Gemara is going to introduce this famous sugya, the topic of Asei doicha lois aseh, where one mitzvah overrides another mitzvah, where a mitzvah that tells you to do something overrides a mitzvah that tells you don't do something, which is a famous rule in the Torah, Asei doicha lois aseh. And the Gemara is going to assume that since there's a mitzvah asei do yibum, there's a lois aseh, there's an iser to marry an achois isha, an erva. And we're not now talking about the regular erva of Eishes Ach, a wife of a brother, because that Yibum, the virtue of the mitzvah of Yibum, clearly overrides that. Here we're talking about other aroyes, Achois Isha, for example, a sister of one of Reuven's wife. If Shimon was married to that sister, and then Shimon dies without children, Reuven cannot do Yibum with his wife's sister. And we needed a pasuk for that. So it seems without this pasuk, maybe the mitzvah of Yibum would override the Avera, the Isser of marrying Achis Isha. And then the Gemara is now going to discuss, would that rule of Asei Doicha Lois Aseh actually have told us that he can do Yibum, and that would explain why we need a pasuk to say you can't do Yibum? Because if the rule of Asei Doicha Lois Aseh wouldn't explain that, we're going to be left with a question. If there's no way of overriding the Issa of Achis Isha, of marrying a sister of a wife, then we wouldn't have thought that you can do Yibum, so why do you need a pasuk to say you cannot do Yibum? Says the Gemara, my Tam, Domrinon,
Can we not assume that we say, osi ase, v'dochi lois ase? An ase comes and overrides the lois ase. The ase of doing yibum, yivom ayove yaleo, overrides the issa of isha elacho isa loisikach. Says the Gemara, no. Eimer domri non ase doich, osi ase v'dochi lois ase. When do we use the rule of ase doich lois ase? That's lois ase gereda. That's just a regular lois ase. If a regular ase is, so to speak, clashes with a lois aseh, then the rule is aseh doich lois aseh, that aseh overrides the lois aseh. However, lois aseh, that's only lois aseh greater, but lois aseh shesh boikoros midochi. If the lois aseh is not just a regular don't do this aveira, it's a lois aseh that is punishable by koros, and all 15 aroyos mentioned in the Mishnah are all punishable by koros. Some are even worse than koros, that they have skila or strefa, as we've discussed, but they're all punishable by koros. So we never find, or let's assume at this point, we don't find aseh being doicha lois aseh sheyesh bei koros. And if so, we would never have dreamt of the idea of the mitzvah aseh of yibum overriding the lois aseh sheyesh bei koros of achois isha. And if so, we would never have dreamt that Reuven can do yibum with achois isha. So why do I need a pasuk to say he cannot do achois isha? That is the question of the Gemara, and it's going to be quite a while until we actually get an answer to that. And the Gemara continues with a question. Vesu, and by the way, lois aseh gereda, just take the regular rule of aseh doicha lois aseh, a regular lois aseh, a lois aseh that's punishable by malchus, by lashes, not by koros. Minolon d'dochi, what would be the source to the whole rule of aseh doicha lois aseh? And now on Daf Dalad, we're going to try and establish where do we know about this rule that we all know about called aseh doicha lois aseh. Says the Gemara, Tichsiv, it says in Sefer Devarim, and it's important that we remember that this isn't Sefer Devarim, we'll soon see why. In Parshas Kiseitze, it says as follows. It says one posuk that speaks about shatnas. Shatnas means you're not allowed to wear a garment where the strands of wool and linen is a fiber that comes from the flax plant, that wool and linen that are sewn together, that are tied together in a garment, is called shatnas. You're not allowed to wear it. So it says in the pasuk, "Lo silba shatnas, don't wear shatnas, tzemer upishtim yachtov, wool and linen together." And the next pasuk immediately after that, which is a pasuk that seems to be out of place here, because the next pasuk is going to discuss the mitzvah of tzitzis. The mitzvah of tzitzis gets discussed in Parshas Shelach, not in Parshas Kiseitze. But this pasuk comes in and says, "Gedilim ta'aseh lecha." You should make a twisted fringes, which is what we call tzitzis, al arba kanfis ksuscha, on the four corners of your garment, ashet chasabo, that you are covered with, that you are adorned with the garment. So you've got what we call smuchin. You've got a posuk, two psukim next to each other. The first posuk that says, don't wear shatnas. The second posuk that says, wear tzitzis. Leisilba shatnas, and then gedilim ta'aselecha. And we'll soon, va'omer Rebelozo. Rebelozo said, smuchin min ha'toyre minayin. We don't yet know exactly how you learn aseh doicha lois aseh from here. We're going to get there soon, but it's clear that it's learned from the fact that the two psukim are smuchin, are written close to each other, one after the other. And smuchin min ha'toyre minayin, where's their remez to this concept that we can learn halachas from by virtue of the fact that two psukim are written in close proximity of each other, they're written next to each other. Shenemar, it says in a pasuk in Tehillim, smuchim lo'ad lo'olam, that they are joined together forever, asuyim be'emes v'yashar, and they are made with truth and upright. So you see there's a concept of smuchim, that when two things are joined to each other, that we have relevance to that. So these two psukim of lo'isil bashatnas, and then gedilim ta'aselecha, it seems to teach us that aseh doich lois aseh. We'll soon see how. Va'omer sheishes omer Rebelozo, mishum Rebelozo ben Azaria. It was said in the name of Rebelozo ben Azaria, minayin leyevomo. This is going to be another place that we find the concept of smuchim. How do we know that if a yevomo, we're learning yibum, if you have one of Shimon died without children, and his wife is now a yibum, has to do yibum with Reuven, Shimon's brother. But what happens if Reuven is mukashchin? He's somebody who's got lots of boils. Minayin liyavoma shenoflo lifnei mukashchin. If this Reuven has got full of boils, and Reuven's widow says, I don't want to marry Reuven, I can't marry somebody full of boils. She'ein chois minoy, so we don't block her claims. We allow her to to stand up for what's important to her. She cannot marry Reuven, and instead of doing Yibum, we force Reuven to do Chalitza, which is instead of Yibum. Where do we know that from? Because it says in the Pasuk, Loisach Sem Sher Badishai. In one Pasuk it says, you should not put a muzzle on an ox, Badishai, whilst it is threshing. The Somichle, and the next Pasuk, it says in the Pasuk, Yeshu Achim Yachtov. If you've got two brothers who are together, which means two brothers from the same father, which is the psukim of Yibum. So you see that you have a posuk of don't block up the mouth of a shoyer, and then it says Yibum. So from here the Gemara learns, Rabbi Elazar ben Azari learned, that in the case of Yibum, make sure that you don't muzzle, you don't block the claims of a woman who says, I cannot do Yibum with this person because he has boils. So we see there that the concept of two psukim being written next to each other, Reisach Sam Sher Badishai, and Kieshu Achim Yachtov, we see there's relevance to smuchim. V'omer of Yosef. Rav Yosef says, Afilu leman deloy dorish smuchin ba'alma. There are those who say that we don't darshan the concept of smuchim in the rest of the Torah, in Sefer Bereishis, Shmois, Vayikra, and Bamidbar. However, by Mishnah Torah, in Sefer Devarim, which is where we have the Shatnas and the Tzitzis, and where we have the Yibum, then Dorish. There, everybody agrees, we do say that Smuchim is relevant. The Horeb Yehuda, for example, Rabbi Yehuda, Ba'alma, Loi Dorish, and the rest of the Chumash, we'll soon see how we know this, but Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold of the concept of Smuchim. However, he himself, Uba Mishnah Torah Dorish, in Sefer Devarim, he does say Smuchim. Ba'alma Minolon de Loi Dorish. How do you know that Rabbi Yehuda, in Sefer Bereishis, Shmois, Vayikra, Bamidbar, he doesn't learn Smuchim? Titania, because we learned in a Braisa. This is a Sugi in Sanhedrin. Ben Azai Omer, Ben Azai said, Nemar, it says in Sefer Shmois. The Pasuk says, Mechashefa loisechaya, one is not allowed to keep alive a Mechashefa, a sorceress. Loisechaya, she has to be put to death. V'nemar, and it says in another Pasuk, also the next Pasuk, Kol sheichevim behema mois yumos. Anyone who's immoral, who lies or sleeps with an animal, mois yumos, they get put to death. And somchu inyan loy, the two Psukim, one of Mechashefa loisechaya, and one of Kol Sheichevim Behemo are written next to each other to teach us that Ma Sheichevim Behemo Biskila, in the same way as in the case of Sheichevim Behemo, we know that it's the punishment of anyone who sleeps, who lies with an animal is Skila. We're going to learn that in Sanhedrin Dafnun Gimel. Af Machshefa, so too Machshefa Loisechaya Biskila. Machshefa is also Chayev in Skila. That is what Ben Azai says. Omale Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said to Ben Azai, V'chi mepnei she'somchu inyan loy, noitzil ze l'skila. It says, Machshefa loy sechaya. We know she's going to be put to death. But to get the stringent punishment of skila, you're going to determine that just by virtue of the fact that it's written next to Kol Sheichev and Behema, smuchim, that smuchim is not, we don't learn smuchim. So we see here clearly in Sefer Shmois that Rabbi Yehuda does not learn from smuchim. Elo, Rabbi Yehuda does say that the Machshefa is Chayev in Skila, but not from Smuchim. He learns it from elsewhere. Me'elo oiv v'yidoini. There's a different pasuk. There's a pasuk that says that a type of sorcery called oiv and yidoini, b'chlal machshefim hoyu, they were included in the bracket of sorcery. V'loma yotzu, why is the oiv and yidoini singled out, if it already says machshefa leisechaya, all sorcery is prohibited and punished by death? Why is oiv and yidoini singled out? Lahakish lohem, in order to make a hekush, to learn from them, v'loy malachot, to teach you that, and this is a rule which is one of the rules of the Torah, of Torah Shebal Peh, how we learn psukim, that kol dovo shahoyo bechlal v'yotzo min haklal l'lamid loy l'lamid al atzmo yotzo el l'lamid al klol kulo yotzo. It's something which many of us are familiar with. We mention this every morning in before davening, in davening. Loy melachot, to teach us that ma oiv v'yidoini, in the same way as oiv v'yidoini biskila, we know that oiv v'yidoini are punishable by skila. Af machshefa, so to any type of sorcery, biskila is punished by skila. So Rabbi Yehuda doesn't argue with Ben Azai as to what the punishment is of machsheifa loisachayo, it's skila. But whereas Ben Azai learns it from smuchin, Rabbi Yehuda learns it out from the fact that oivan yidoini is singled out. So we see here clearly Rabbi Yehuda does not hold of smuchin in Sefer Shmois. Ubamishna Torah minolon de Dorish. How do you know that Rabbi Yehuda himself does hold of smuchin in Sefer Dvorim? Ditnan, as we learned in a Mishnah. Noise odom anusas oviv, or the Tanakama here hold, that if a person is allowed to marry anusas oviv, which means if his father forced a woman to have relations with him, then he didn't marry her, but they lived together forcefully, then that's called anusas oviv. Umafutas oviv means that the father seduced this woman to have relations with him, or anusas benoi, or mefutas benoi, or if his son did oinus, or if his son was mefate somebody, in those cases, even though a spouse of a father or a spouse of a son is severely asa, it's one of the arayos. But since here it was outside of marriage, and therefore the Tanakhama say that noise adam, it's not called in marriage, it's not called eishes avicha, ervas eishes avicha, it's not called a wife, because eishes is only when there's ishus, it's only when there's kiddushin, there was no marriage here. That's the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yehuda oiser banusas oviv umafutas oviv. That when it comes to somebody who his father was ma'anus or mefate, then it's osa. V'omer Rav Gidlo Marav, and Rav Gidlo said in the name of Rav, what was the source of Rabbi Yehuda that anusas oviv and mefutas oviv is osar? My tamad Rabbi Yehuda, d'chsiv, it says in a posuk, and this is a posuk in Sefer Devarim. It says that in one posuk it says lo yikach ishes ishes oviv v'lo igale knaf oviv. Says that a person is not allowed to marry his father's wife, or lo yegale knaf oviv, any knaf of his father, he's not allowed to marry. And what does it say? What does that mean? Knaf shera oviv lo yegale, which means that anybody that the father revealed, exposed, the son is not allowed to marry. The question is, maybe that's just talking about a wife. How do you know it's talking about oinus and mefate? Or mimai de ba'anusoksiv, how do you know that this is talking about anusa of his father? That it's osa from the pasuk lo yigale knaf oviv mi'ilavei dekra, because of a different pasuk, the pasuk that says before that, before the pasuk of lo yikach ishes ishes oviv lo yigale knaf oviv, it's that's in the first pasuk in Perichov Gimel, but the end of Perichov Beis it says v'nosan. It says v'nosan hu ish ashoichiv imo la'vi anaro chamishim kesev. It's talking about if somebody was ma'anus, he forced a girl to have relations with him, he has to pay the father chamishim kesev, 50 silver coins, v'lo yisi elisha, and he has to marry her, techas ashi'ino, because he hurt her, lo yucha l'shalcha kol yomov, he cannot divorce her his whole life. So the pasuk before is talking about oinus, it's explicit. The pasuk afterwards that says lo yikach ishes ishes oviv lo yigale knaf oviv is the pasuk after a pasuk that speaks about oinus. So this, from this smichus, d'chsiv v'nosan ish ha-sheich v'imu la'viyah na'ar ha-chamishim kesev, v'somich lei lo yikach ish v'goymer, and then after that is the pasuk of lo yikach ishes ishes oviv v'lo yigale knaf oviv. So from here we see smuchin, that the pasuk of lo yigale knaf oviv is talking about oinus, that anusas oviv is included in lo yegale knaf oviv and is osar. That's why Rabbi Yehuda says that Rabbi Yehuda osar ba anusas oviv and mefutas oviv. So you see clearly here that Rabbi Yehuda learns smuchin, and this isn't Sefer Devarim. So you see that in Sefer Devarim everybody learns smuchin, even those who don't learn smuchim in the other places. Says the Gemara v'rabbonon, the Tanakama who say that somebody is allowed to marry anusas oviv and mefutas oviv, what do? We assume they also hold of smuchin. There's a smichus here. There's written together. Lo yigale knaf oviv is written after the psukim talking about oinus. So why did Tanakama say that he is allowed to marry anusas oviv? V'rabbonon, what are they going to do? Says the Gemara, you have a somichle, if it would be right next to each other, the words lo yigale knaf oviv and the psukim of oinus, then keduka omrus. Of course we would say smuchin, and I would agree with you, Rabbi Yehuda, that it's osa, but hashta de loy samichle, but it's not completely next to each other. Tichsiv lo yikach ishes ishes oviv bein time, because the last pasuk of Perichov Beis indeed is talking about is talking about oinus. But the first pasuk of Perek Chof Gimel says, Lo yikach ishes eishes oviv. A person is not allowed to marry his father's wife within marriage, and only then it says, Velo yigale knaf oviv. He's not allowed to marry knaf oviv, which is from where we learn anusas oviv. But the words, Lo yikach ishes eishes oviv, are written in between. So it's not completely samuch, it's not completely joined. In that case, we don't say smuchin. So then, according to the Chachomim, who say that lo yegale knaf oviv doesn't mean anusas oviv, because they say the son can marry anusas oviv. How do they explain, what does it mean lo yegale knaf oviv? It doesn't mean you're not allowed to marry your father's wife from marriage, because it already says lo yikach ishes eishes oviv. So which woman is not anusas oviv and mefutas oviv, is not his wife, and nonetheless is osir? Says the Gemara, b'shimeres yovam hakosuv medabir. The pasuk is talking about Shemeres Yovam. If Shimon died and he had a wife, not an erva to Reuven, he had a wife. Now Reuven has to marry, has to do yibum. So this woman, Shimon's wife, the widow, is, if she obviously they died without, he died without children, this widow is now Shemeres Yovam. She's reserved to Reuven to do yibum. So all the while she's reserved to Reuven to do yibum, and that stays that way until one of Shimon's surviving brothers didn't do either Yibum or Chalitza with one of Shimon's wives. Up until that point, the wives are considered Shemeres Yovam. They're reserved for Yibum. So Shemeres Yovam, if Reuven's son wants to marry this wife of Shimon, then he can't, because at this point in time, this woman is reserved for Reuven, for his father Reuven to do Yibum. And that's called Lo Yegale Knaf Oviv. B'shimeres Yovam HaKosov Medaber V'laver Olov B'shnei Lavim. And in order to, why do we need an extra pasuk Lo Yigale Knaf Oviv? In order, because we already know there's another pasuk that says explicitly that a woman who is reserved, so to speak, to do Yibum is not allowed to marry anybody else. We saw that in the pasuk. It says in the pasuk Lo Yisia Eishes Hameis HaChutza. But this is just to have another lav, that a woman who's supposed to do Yibum and marry somebody else, has two lavim. A regular lav of Loisia Eishes Hameis HaChutza, and if she marries one of the Yovams, let's call him Reuven's son, then you've got the extra lav of Lo Yegale Knaf Oviv. So that's the Rabbonon. And now the Gemara asks, Uba Mishneh Torah, Mai Tama Dedorish? We just now saw that Rabbi Yehuda learns Smuchin in Sefer Dvorim from the fact that it says, V'nosanu ish ha-shoichiv imo la'vi anaro chamishim kesef, V'somich le, next to it, lo yikach ish, es eishes oviv lo yigale knaf oviv. So from there Rabbi Yehuda learns that osar ba'anusas oviv u'mufutas oviv. But so we see that Rabbi Yehuda was Dairish Smuchin in Sefer Dvorim. But what made him come to that conclusion? There must have been some place in Sefer Dvorim where Rabbi Yehuda found a source that it must be, there's no choice, it must be that there's Smuchim. We saw before already in Sefer Dvorim, we saw that Loisil Bashatnas Gdilim Ta'aselecho, and the Gemara explained that's because of a Smuchin. But we have to know what made Rabbi Yehuda, what did he see that forced him to come to the conclusion that there must be smuchin in Sefer Dvorim? Says the Gemara, Ibois Eima Mishum Demuchach. If you want, I can prove it to you from the fact that it's muchach, which means that the very fact that it's there, it must be telling us, why did the pasuk write this pasuk next to this pasuk? It doesn't belong here. The fact that it's here and it doesn't belong here must be telling us that it's because I want you to learn something from the fact that it's next to where it is next to. Or we learn it out from a drasha that there's something, an extra word. And if there's an extra word, that tells us that use this extra word as, so to speak, a link, or to teach us that you can learn something from the fact that it's next to something else. And the Gemara is going to explain. That let's take this case here that we're busy with now, with Lo Yegale Knaf Oviv, which is next to the case of the psukim that speak about oinus. So it's muchach. De'im kein lichtevei rachmona gab aroyes. This posuk of Lo Yikach Ishes Eishes Oviv, Lo Yegale Knaf Oviv, why is it not written together with all the other aroyes in the Torah? Why is it over here in Devarim Perek Chof Gimel? It doesn't belong here. So if it's here, it must be in order to teach us something that it's close to the posuk before it that speaks about oinus. Ve'i bois eima. or mishum demufna. There's something about this pasuk which seems to be superfluous, so to speak, and we know there's nothing superfluous in the Torah, not a single letter, and the fact that something superfluous is teaching us smuchin. Demufna, deimkein, lichtei rachmona lo yikach ish es eishes oviv. If it would mean that a son is not allowed to marry his father's wife in marriage, then just say the first half of the pasuk of Perek Chof Gimel pasuk Aleph, lo yikach ish es eishes oviv. Why does the pasuk carry on? V'lo yigale knaf oviv. Lomoli, why do I need the extra words v'lo yigale knaf oviv? It must be to teach me that you want to know there's something new here. There's something else. Even that means a type of a father's wife, but it's not a real wife, but somebody the father's had relations with, which is osa to the child. What would that be? Says Reb Yehuda, smuchin, see what's written close by. The pasuk before it, at the end of Perek Chof Beis, speaks about oinus. So this pasuk is teaching us, lo yigale knaf oviv, is talking about oinus. So through this smuchin, Reb Yehuda learns that osar, that a person is not allowed to marry anusas oviv or mefutas oviv. Shema minola fnuye, these extra words are over, so to speak, they are there to teach us that anusas oviv is osar. Says the Gemara, v'gabetzitzis nami. Let's take the Gemara right at the top of the Daled Amud Aleph that we learned from the pasuk. Asay doicholos asay. Where did we learn that from? From loisil bashatnas gedilim taselecho, which is two psukim in Sefer Devarim that are close to each other. Over there also we learned smuchim. Ibo yseim mishum demuchach. Ibo yseim mishum demufna. Over there also, I'll show you that there's something about that parash posuk that shouldn't be there at all. It doesn't belong there. If it's there, it's muchach. It must be teaching us smuchin, that through the smuchim you can learn something, or demufna, there's a word that's superfluous there that's teaching us the smuchim. You want to know what about the psukim there are teaching us, are out of place, and therefore teaching us smuchim. When it says in the posuk, first it says, you're not allowed to wear a garment which has shatnas, which is tzemer upishtim yachtov, wool and linen together. The next posuk it says, in Parshas Kiseitze, gedilim taselecho, al arba kanfis, ksuscho ashet chasebo. Where tzitzis? Well, the parash of tzitzis is in parashas Shlach, not in parashas Kiseitze. What's it doing there? So the very fact that it says gedilim taselecho in parashas Kiseitze and it doesn't belong there, it's muchach lemay hilchas akos v'hocha. Why? What is it coming to teach us that it's written here? It must be to tell us smuchin that there's something you can learn from the connection between the issa of wearing shatnas and the chiyuv of wearing tzitzis. That's as far as the muchach. And v'ibo yiseima, mishum demufna. And there's also something which is superfluous there, which teaches us the same thing. Mechtuksir kosav, it already says in Parashas Kedoshim, it says in the Pasuk, eschukoisai tishmoiru behem techolo yisar biakilayim, sot cholo yisar akiloyim, ubeged kilayim shatnes noloya leolecho. A garment of kilayim, which is shatnes, which has in it a mixture of wool and linen, loya leolecho, you should not put on you. That it already says in Parashas Kedoshim. And then we've got this pasuk in Kiseitze that says, Loisil bashatnas, don't wear shatnas. Lomoli, why do I need the pasuk to say Loisil bashatnas in Parashas Kiseitze if it already says, Ubeged kilayim shatnas loyale olecho in Parashas Kedoshim? Shema mino lafnuye. It must be teaching us that there's something superfluous there to teach us that you can learn smuchim. What are we going to learn from the smuchim? That's asay doicholos asay. The Gemara is going to discuss that later. Says the Gemara, why are you saying that the words loisil bashatnas tzemer upishtim yachtov in parashas kiseitze are superfluous because it already says it in parashas kedoshim? No, hana mitzrich tzrichi. I need both psukim. Dikos of rachmona, because if you'd only have the pasuk in parashas kedoshim that says ubeget kilayim shatnas lo yale olecho, dikos of rachmona lo yale olecho, just that pasuk in kiseitze, hava mina, I may have thought kol derech halo'o osur rachmona. That it's only also to wear shatnas when it's in a form of halah, when you're wearing it as a normal way of putting the garment on you. That means anything which is on you. As long as it's on, male, it's fine. And even these people who are wearing, who are draping over themselves garments, which are making them hot in the middle of the summer. And the reason that they are draping, they are using, they are wearing these clothes is just to advertise that they're selling clothes. But there's shatnas there. So how would you know that? And so I may have thought that it's also going to be osur. Any type of wearing of the garment is osur. Any type of putting the garment on you, even if it's just for the sake of advertising, is not even comfortable. It's not. There's no pleasure in wearing it. That's if it would have just said in the pasuk, "Ubeget klaim shatnas lo yale alecho." That's why it says kosav rachmon. It says in kisei, it says lo silba shatnas. The word levush, which is a wearing, a levush, a levisha, which means wearing it as one wears normal clothes. So, and that's a word, the word tilbash, wearing, it doesn't say in Parashas Kedoshim, it only says in Kiseitse, to teach us that dumya de levisha, that the isser of kilayim is only when it's similar to a regular wearing clothes. De ispeano, he's got some pleasure from it. Because, and if you're going to wear warm clothes in the summer and you're wearing it just for advertising purposes, but you're not having no pleasure out of it, then indeed there's going to be no issa of kilayim. So the pasuk in Parshas Kiseitze le'silba shatnas needs to teach us you only transgressed shatnas if it's levisha. So it's not, if it's not mufna, then what you said before, that iboisei misha mufna, the Gemara is asking, it's not mufna. V'ikosev rachmono le'silba, and now the Gemara is explaining, why do I need the pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim if it says le'silba shatnas in Parshas Kiseitze? Why do I need ubeget kilayim shatnas lo yale alecho in Parshas Kedoshim? V'ikosev rachmono le'silba, if it would only say the pasuk in Kiseitze, have a minute, I may have thought, davke levisha denofish haniyoso. I may have thought that only when it's a proper wearing, where there's a lot of pleasure, then it's osa. Aval halo, but if you just drape a garment over you, which is not a regular, the way you get regular pleasure from clothes, loy, I may have thought in that case it's not osur at all. Kosav rachmona, that's what it says. Lo yalo alecha. As long as you're getting pleasure from it, even if you're not actually wearing it, it's just over you, it's also osa. So you see, so the Gemara has now proved that I need both psukim. So nothing is mufna. If it's not mufna, what does it mean? The Gemara says that the source that Rabbi Yehuda had, that you learn smuchin in Sefer Dvorim, is from the fact that shatnas, the words, the Lusilba Shatnas, which is written next to Gedilim Taselecha in Parashas Kiseitze, is mufna, is superfluous. It's not superfluous. Answers the Gemara, Im Kain Lichtev Rachmona Lusilbash Shatnas. Because if what all you want to do is from the pasuk in Parshas Kiseitze is to learn that it's got to be derech levisha, derech wearing, which means you have pleasure from it and not just putting it over you for without any pleasure, then that's fine. So that's the first three words of that pasuk, lo silba shatnas, don't wear shatnas. Why do you have to add in temer upishtim yachtov, wool and linen together? So why does it say those words? Those seem to be superfluous because that's what shatnas is. And therefore, it is superfluous. Imke nichtov rachmona lo silba shatnas. Tzemer upishtim, why does it say the words tzemer upishtim lomoli? Mechta, kosav ubeged kilayim shatnas lo yale alecho. We know in the pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim, it already says ubeged kilayim shatnas lo yale alecho. And what is beged? Because the truth is, kilayim shatnas just means there's two species, two different types of materials and threads together. We don't really know. It's tzemer upishtim, wool and linen. So you can't say the words tzemer upishtim in Kiseitze are superfluous because it doesn't say tzemer upishtim in Parshas Kedoshim, says the Gemara. No, because you forgot. We didn't forget, but we have to mention the Tana de Be'elio, the Tana de Be'erbi Shmuel. Tana de Be'erbi Shmuel says that the virtue of the word beged itself, a garment, when it doesn't tell us which garment, when it just says beged, it always means tzemer upishtim. Mechta kosav, it says in the pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim, ubeged kilayim shatnas lo yale alecho. V'tana deber b'shmol and tana deber b'shmol learned hoil v'nemru b'tayra stam begodim. In many places it says beged. It talks about clothes and doesn't tell us which types of clothes. Uparat lecho akosav be'echod mem. And in one time in the Torah, in the parasha of Negoim, in the parasha of Tzoras, there it says explicitly tzemer upishtim. It singles out that beged means which beged? Wool and linen. So we learn from there, af kol tzemer upishtim. We learn from there that every time it says beged in the Torah and doesn't tell us which type of garment, it's always wool and linen. So if so, tzemer upishtim, the kosav rachmona lomoli. So once it says the word beged in Parashas Kedoshim, it doesn't need to tell us tzemer upishtim because beged always means tzemer upishtim, as Tana de Be'elio Rabbi Shmuel said, and therefore the words Tzemer or Pishtim in Parashas Kiseitze are superfluous. Shema mino lafnuye, to teach us that from these extra words, to teach us that you can learn smuchim between shatnas and gedilim ta'aselecha. Says the Gemara, no. Vakata itzrich. I need the words Tzemer or Pishtim explicitly in Parashas Kiseitze, Lusil bashatnas, Tzemer or Pishtim, even though knowing that shatnas is Tzemer or Pishtim, I know that from the word beged in Parashas Kedoshim, I still need the words Tzemer or Pishtim in Parashas Kiseitze, and they're not mufna. Because Sol Kodai Techamina, I may have thought, Ha'aloh, don't forget in Parashas Kedoshim, what does it say? Lo yale olecho. It doesn't say ha'levush, it just says ha'aloh, which is just putting it on you, even if you're not wearing it normally. The pleasure you get from having a cloth on you is less than the pleasure you get from actually wearing the cloth. So I may have thought that ubeged, the word beged, which always means tzemer upishtim, ubeged kilayim shatnas lo yale olecha, when it comes to yale, to just putting the cloth on you, not for advertising purposes, to give you pleasure, but it's only the pleasure of having the garment on you, but you're not actually wearing it properly. Maybe only there the restrictions of kilayim are limited to beged, which is tzemer upishtim. Aval levisha, I may have thought that if you're wearing the clothes with so much pleasure, denofish hanyos, you have lots of pleasure, you're wearing it regularly, then which is the posuk of loisilba shatnas, I may have thought kol trei mini. Maybe there, the shatnas and the kilayim there, is any two species. And it's not limited to beged, which is only woolen linen. And kol trei mini, osa rachmona, maybe the Torah said, any two types of materials of threads in a garment are osa. Therefore, kosav rachmona tzemer upishtim. That's why in the posuk that speaks about loisilbash, the wearing of shatnas, it has to say explicitly tzemer upishtim. So then the words are not mufna. If they're not mufna, how do you know smuchin? Says the Gemara, im kein lishtoi kro mine. If it would be true that the words tzemer upishtim are teaching us that even by levisha, that only osar kilayim, if it's woolen linen, tzemer upishtim, if that's indeed why the posuk is saying it, lishtoi kro mine, then don't say anything. Don't say tzemer upishtim. V'teisa, and you're not going to make this mistake of thinking that by levisha any two species are osar. No, because teisi shatnas, shatnas me'aloh. It says in Parshas Kedoshim u'beged kilayim shatnas. There it says beged. Beged is always tzemer upishtim. Indeed, it's only talking about lo yale olecho. The pasuk in Kiseitze, lo silba shatnas, it also mentions the word shatnas. We would learn gzeroshova shatnas, shatnas, that shatnas is always only tzemer upishtim. So again, the words tzemer upishtim are superfluous. And since it's superfluous, therefore, we know that it's mufna, and that's how Rabbi Yehuda learns that it's mufna for smuchin. Says the Gemara, V'tana d'bei Rabbi Shmuel, according to what we just learned now, according to Tana d'bei Rabbi Shmuel, that says that beged always means tzemer upishtim. And the reason that we need to say tzemer upishtim explicitly by in Kiseitze is indeed mufna. So let's recap now. According to the Tana d'bei Rabbi Shmuel, when it says in the pasuk ubeged kilayim shatnas lo yale olecha, we know beged always means tzemer upishtim. So why does it say tzemer upishtim in Kiseitze? To learn smuchim to tzitzis gdilim ta'aselecha. Those who argue with Rabbi Shmuel and say that beged doesn't necessarily mean tzemer upishtim, then the words tzemer upishtim in Parshas Kiseitze are not mufna, because we need the tzemer upishtim to tell us that kilayim is, and shatnas is only tzemer upishtim and not any other two species. So according to those who argue with Tana d'bei Rabbi Shmuel, then you don't have a smuchin that tells us that you can learn something from and with kilayim and tzitzis. So that's now machleikus the Rabbonon and the Tana d'bei Rabbi Shmuel. Can you learn from the connection of kilayim and tzitzis? Now, what did we learn? The top of Davdala Domadalef. What did we learn from the smuchin of kilayim and tzitzis? So the Gemara said, how do we know asei doicha loisase? From the fact that it says loisil bashatnas gedilim taselecho. Now, what is that teaching us? What's that smuchim teaching us? So it's teaching us like this: loisil bashatnas tzemer upishtim yachtov. Normally, you're not allowed to have shatnas. Wool and linen are not allowed to be sewn together, tied together in a garment. G'dilim ta'aselach, you should make yourself tzitzis. What is that telling us? That you're allowed to make tzitzis even though the tzitzis are kilayim. How can you make kilayim? The Torah says you're not allowed to wear kilayim. The answer is that since we have this smuchim that says that regarding tzitzis, you're allowed to wear kilayim, this is the source of asei doicha lois aseh. That the mitzvah asei of gedilim taseloch, of wearing tzitzis, overrides the lois aseh of loisil bashatnas. And from this smuchim in Sefer Devarim, loisil bashatnas, gedilim taseloch, we learn asei doicha lois aseh, but that's only if it's mufna. And it's only mufna according to the Tana de Beir Rabbi Shmuel, as we saw. So now we're saying, the Tana de Beir Rabbi Shmuel, so now that we know that according to Tana de Beir Rabbi Shmuel, the Tzemer Upishtim is superfluous. So you can learn smuchim. What do we learn from the smuchim? That tzitzis are allowed to be kilayim. Even though the garment is linen and the threads are wool, and normally that would be severely also as shatnas, tzitzis you're allowed to. So now the Gemara is asking, Tama, is it only because of the reason, the cause of Rachmona, Tzemer Upishtim, is it only what we just said now, from the smuchin between Tzemer Upishtim and Gedilim Taseloch, that's the source, that Asei Doich Lois Aseh, and you're allowed to put, make tzitzis with kilayim? Ha'olav hachi. But if you wouldn't have these smuchin, then kilayim, but tzitzis, hava amina da'osa rachmona, I would have thought that you're not allowed to wear kilayim tzitzis. That means, is this the one and only source that you're allowed to wear kilayim on tzitzis? Voksiv, it's a big challenge that, because in Parshas Shelach, in the Parsha of tzitzis, it says in the Pasuk, Daber el b'nei Yisrael, v'amarta lehem, v'osu lohem tzitzis. Make tzitzis al kanfei bigdem, on the corners of your garments, l'doyer yisom v'nosnu al tzitzis hakonof, psil techeles, and you should hang from the corner of your garment the threads of techeles, which is a colored dye, a specific dye that we don't know today what it is, but it's called techeles, and you should put techeles onto the threads. And but Tana de Beir B'Shmuel, and Tana de Beir B'Shmuel understood that kol begodim tzemer upishtim him, as we saw before. Tana de Beir B'Shmuel learned that from the fact that it always just says beged without telling us what it is. And in one place by Tzoras it says Tzemer Upishtim. Beged always means Tzemer Upishtim. So when it says that you've put tzitzis on big day hem, on your clothes, we know that you put tzitzis on clothes of Tzemer Upishtim. And what do you put as tzitzis? That means you have a cloth of either wool or linen, that's beged. Beged is tzemer upishtim. And then you put threads. What do you color the threads with? With tcheles. What type of material do you paint, do you dye with tcheles? V'omar rachmona, ovid le tcheles. The Torah says you should dye the tzitzis, at least one of the threads, with tcheles. V'tcheles amrahu. You always dye. Which type of material gets dyed with tcheles? Wool. How do I know that it's wool threads that get dyed with tcheles? Umimai de tcheles amrahu, who told you that just because one of the threads are dyed with tcheles, it means it's a woolen thread? You learn it out from the pasuk. Mida sheish kisna tcheles amrahu, because it says by the big day kuhuna, it mentions there that there's a whole list of clothes that were brought. And most of three of the list are actually colors. A red color, a tcheles color. One of them is a material, bod, sheish, which is linen. So if one of them is linen, so we know that the others are not linen. So it's clear that those, the clothes of the Kohen Gadol, which we're talking about, besides for the last one, which is linen, the others are wool. And one of them is tcheles. Tcheles argomon v'toilas shoni. Those three colors are not sheish. They're not linen. So they're wool. So you see that tcheles is attributed and associated to a woolen thread. So if it says in the pasuk that you put tzitzis on bigdeyem, and we know that beged is wool or linen, so that means that a linen garment, you put tzitzis on it. Tzitzis is one of the threads of tcheles. Tcheles is always put onto wool, so you've got a woolen thread of tzitzis on a linen garment. So even without the smuchin in Parshas Kiseitse, from the fact that it says that you put tzitzis on big dehem, which is wool or linen, and you put tcheles, which is wool, you already see explicitly that tzitzis overrides kilayim. Why do I need the smuchin? Says the Gemara Itzrich. Sol kadaita, we still need the smuchin. Sol kadaita chamina, I may have thought, kudarova, we're soon going to see that Rava learns that from the words hakonof, it teaches us min konof, that there's a restriction, which means you have to put on tzitzis, but the tzitzis, the threads, have to be from the same type of, same species, the same type of material as the cloth itself. So I may have thought that since Rava says that the strings have to be the same material as the clothes, then you're not allowed to put kilayim. We'll soon see. If it says tcheles, you'd only have to put on a tcheles painted onto a woolen thread would only be on a woolen garment, and then there's no kilayim. So if you learn hakonof is min konof from the type of the corner of the garment itself, there's no kilayim, and that's why we need the smuchin to say you're allowed to do kilayim. So kedayt chamina, I may have thought, could the Rava like Rava said? The Rava Rami, Rava seemed to ask a seeming contradiction. Ksiv, it says in the pasuk that we mentioned by tzitzis in Parshas Shlach, hakonof. It says, v'nosnu al tzitzis hakonof psil techeles. What do we learn from hakonof? Min konof. The threads always have to be the same type of material as the garment. In which case, there's never kilayim. Kilayim means that the thread and the garment are a different type. One is wool, one is linen. No, Rava says in one pasuk it seems to say hakonof min konof uchsiv, but on the same token it says in the pasuk tzemer upishtim, that the strings are allowed to be, or the strings are tzemer upishtim, and this interestingly enough is learned from the two psukim we're talking about, where it says lesil bashatnas tzemer upishtim yachtov, wool and linen together gedilim taaseloch, you put strings, tzitzis, on. So from the fact that it says the words tzemer upishtim yachtov together with gedilim taaseloch, it seems that threads are only wool or linen. And not only wool or linen, the threads can be wool or linen, anytime. So it seems not like min hakonof. Min hakonof means that any type of garment, it means the way we're learning at this point, min hakonof means that any garment, it doesn't matter what it's made of, the strings have to be the same materials as the garment. But from this, from the fact that it says tzemer upishtim together with gedilim, it seems that threads of tzitzis are only made of wool and linen. But if I have a silk garment, then from hakonof it would mean have threads of silk for tzitzis. But from tzemer upishtim it seems that tzitzis can only be wool or linen. Haketzad, how do we reconcile these two psukim? Says Rava, tzemer upishtim poitrin bein b'minon bein shaloi b'minon. That if you're using threads of either wool or linen, then they can be put on any garment, not necessarily shatnas. You can put wool on a linen garment or linen threads on a woolen garment, but you can put woolen threads or linen threads on any garment which is not shatnas. For example, a silk garment, you can put either wool threads or linen threads or silk threads. But shar minin, but any other type of thread which is not wool or linen, b'minon poitrin, they only are kosher on a garment which is the same type as those strings. For example, on a silk garment, you can have either woolen threads or linen threads, and you can have silk threads. But silk threads can only ever be used on a silk garment, memina konof. On any other garment besides for a silk garment, you cannot use threads of tzitzis made of silk. Sha'ar minin, any threads which is not wool or linen, but minon poitrim, they can be used as tzitzis on the type of garment which is the same as them, shaloi b'minon einon poitrim. But what do we see from here? There's a concept of hakonof min konof, that the threads you put on a garment has to be the same materials as the garment itself, so you don't have any kilayim. So even though we said before that from bigdeyem means garments of wool, garments of linen, and we asked a question that if you have tcheles and tcheles is on a woolen thread, then you see clearly from the pasuk of the tzitzis that you can have tzitzis of kilayim. So we asked a question according to Tana de Beir B'Shmuel, why do I need the smuchim to say that you can have kilayim by tzitzis? Says the Gemara, no. Because Rava says, hakonof min konof, that the threads have to be the same type as the garment, and there's no kilayim. So from this posuk of tzitzis in and of itself, you do not have any source that you can have kilayim, and that's why by tzitzis. And therefore, Tana de Beir B'Shmuel needs the smuchin to teach us, and you can have kilayim but tzitzis. Ask the Gemara, you're answering Tana de Beir B'Shmuel with Rava? Well, Tana de Beir B'Shmuel, lesley de Rava. Tana de Beir B'Shmuel, they learn that beged always means only wool and linen. So from when it says that you put tzitzis al kanfei bigdeim, according to Tanur Deber Bishmoel, tzitzis are only ever required on a woolen garment or on a linen garment. Rava clearly says that any other type of garment you can wear tzitzis. He says that woolen, linen, threads, they exempt any type of garment. But threads of any other type of garment only exempt a garment, threads of any other type of material only exempt a garment of that material. So you see that Rava clearly says that bigdeim means any type of material, not only woolen linen. So Rabbi Tana de Be'er Shmuel doesn't hold of Rava, so how can you use Rava to explain Tana de Be'er Shmuel? Says the Gemara, no. You're right that Rava and Tana de Be'er Shmuel are arguing as to whether garments other than woolen linen are chayiv and tzitzis. That's true. But nonetheless, it could be that Tana de Be'er Shmuel agree with Rava that the word hakonof would tell us it has to be threads with the same species as the garment. So bigdeim, according to Tana de Be'er Shmuel, is either wool or linen. Hakonof would tell us that on a woolen garment you put woolen threads, and on a linen garment you put linen threads, and then there's no kilayim. Therefore, they need smuchim to say that you're allowed to have kilayim on tzitzis. Itzruch says the Gemara, so could I to Chamina, I may have thought, ki diyukub the Rava, that he learns the word hakonof like Rava. Hakonof min konof. And this is what the Torah would be telling us. Because according to Tana de Be'er Shmuel, it says bigdeim is only clothes of tzemer and pishtim. Hakonov says that the strings, the tzitzis, have to be the same species as the garment. A woolen strings on a woolen garment, linen threads on a linen garment. And then there's no kilayim. And then we've got a question. So what's the tcheles? Tcheles, we said before, tcheles is on wool. So how are you going to, so if you say that wool and woolen threads, like Rava says, can be put on a silk garment, there's no problem of kilayim. But according to Rabbi Shmuel, Tana de Be'er Shmuel, that the only two garments you use is wool and linen, and you have to put tzitzis, and you said that tcheles is always on wool, you're going to have an issue here. So you're going to put the woolen threads on a linen garment? What's going to be? The woolen thread, that's kilayim. We just said now, according to Tana de Be'er Shmuel, he's going to learn that there's no kilayim. And you put threads, you put upishtim lepishtim. But if you put linen threads on a linen garment, we said that tcheles, which is the dye used for one of the strings of the tzitzis, is always on the wool. How are we going to understand that? Says the Gemara, ki avi des tzemer, if you choose to use woolen strings on a woolen beged, le tzemer, then tzove, only then you should dye it with tcheles. Aval tzemer lepishtim upishtim letzemer, loy, but to put woolen threads on a garment of linen, or linen threads on a garment of wool, that's never allowed. And if you put linen threads on a garment of linen, then you don't dye it in tcheles, because tcheles is only on wool. So I may have thought that Rabbi Shmuel learns like this, and therefore you never have kilayim. So then there's no source that you have kilayim in tzitzis. Kosav Rachman, and therefore that's why Tana de Be'er Shmuel needs the smuchin of that we saw before, that loisil bashatnas and gedilim taseloch, to tell us therefore Kosav Rachmona tzemer upishtim, that you, then this teaches us you do not need mimin hakonof. Tana de Be'er Shmuel would have learned like Rava to say hakonof means min hakonof. You put woolen threads on a woolen garment and linen threads on a linen garment, and only the woolen threads get dyed. Says the smuchin, no. You can have kilayim on tzitzis, and even when you have a linen garment, you don't say hakonof min konof. On a linen garment, you also have a woolen thread, which is dyed tcheles, and you can have kilayim. Dafilu tzemer lepishtim upishtim letzemer. We don't say hakonof min konof. Indeed, according to Tana de Be'er Shmuel, only a wool or linen garment is chayiv and tzitzis, and you can put either wool or linen tzitzis, and the woolen threads are dyed with tcheles, and we have no issue with kilayim, because that's what we learned from the smuchim, asei doicha lo isase, and there's no issue of kilayim in the context of tzitzis. So that's this Gemara. And now the Gemara is saying, tinach l'tana de Be'er Shmuel. All this is good according to Tana de Be'er Shmuel, who learns that tzemer opishtim is superfluous, because the word beged always tells us that is tzemer upishtim. So the word beged is superfluous to teach us. Smuchim, to teach us you can have kilayim in tzitzis. But l'rabbonon, Minolhu, according to the Rabbonon, who argue with the Tana de Be'er Bishmol, and they say that the word Tzemer or Pishtim that it says by Shatnez and Kiseite is not superfluous because they don't learn like Tana de Be'er Bishmol that Beged Kilaim of Parshas Kedoshim means woolen linen. So I need the woolen linen, the Tzemer or Pishtim in Parshas Kiseite to teach us that. So it's not superfluous. If it's not superfluous, then I don't have a smuchim. If I don't have a smuchim, I don't have a source for Asei Doi Chaloi Saseh. So according to Tana de Be'er Bishmol, we have a source for Asei Doi Chaloi Saseh from the fact that the mitzvah of tzitzis overrides the issa of kilayim. According to those who argue with Tana de Be'er Bishmol, we do not have a source for asei dei chaloi saseh. We're going to have to find another source for asei dei chaloi saseh, and we're going to learn that, Be'ezus Hashem, in the next daf.